From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. SpyHop is a downtown institution. For 15 years, they've been working with young people in digital media, in the digital arts. They teach kids to tell stories that reflect their lives in film, radio, programming, video game development. And they're celebrating an anniversary tonight, 15 years. Today we'll be talking with SpyHop's executive director, Cassandra Van Bruggen, about their programs, their history, and what they hope to accomplish in the next 15 years.
They're learning really valuable 21st century skills. So how to communicate with somebody who's different from you. Mm-hmm. And the role that having different people, different voices, different ideas in a room can actually contribute to a more successful outcome.
All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my friend, Cassandra Verbruggen. Cassandra is the executive director of SpyHop. And Cassandra, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
For some of the listeners who don't know a lot about SpyHop, can you give us sort of the elevator pitch about what SpyHop is, what you do, how you do it, why you do it, all those things?
Sure. Well, SpyHop is a youth media organization. Many people maybe are familiar with youth development, and so we kind of think of ourselves as a creative youth development organization. So using the digital media arts as a tool of empowerment and education for young people.
So the kids make films?
They do everything actually from it's programming and filmmaking to digital design, animation, gaming, audio engineering. We have a radio show, for example, on KRCL that we've had since 2002 called Loud and Clear on Saturday nights. It's pretty much media arts. A lot of people know us for our filmmaking program because that's our longest running program.
Well, and that's what I always thought is I thought, oh, well, SpyHop is high school filmmakers.
Right.
But you do, so it sounds like much more than that.
Yep. So we serve ages 7 to 20. We have a media arts center downtown. So we're just on 5th West and 2nd South. And during the school year, we mostly serve teenagers there.
Okay.
And it's mostly in the out of school time. So, you know, 4 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Which is a time I understand when sometimes teenagers or preteens get into trouble. Like that, those hours right after school, before parents come home or before they engage with other stuff, is a time when kids can get into maybe behaviors that are not as great as or as productive as digital art. So, okay, so let's talk specifically about some of the different programs. You've got a radio show. Mm-hmm. What does that entail?
Well, it's so our programs run anywhere from 3 week long workshops that we call media labs.
Okay.
So this could be anything from beat making, for example, to songwriting, to cinematography or editing or very specific skills in filmmaking, for example, or game design, that kind of thing, to year-long intensive experiences. So at the year-long classes, we have Pitchnik, which a lot of people are familiar with, which is our filmmaking program where students create two documentary shorts and two narratives. And then
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's kind of soup to nuts. Like you teach them how mm-hmm. the cameras work, mm-hmm. how the editing process works, how to write a script, how to create a narrative story that kind of has an arc and a beginning, middle, and end. And I mean, it's pretty impressive what some of these kids turn out.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And I think, you know, I'm always amazed at the just sort of authentic voice that comes out of our students that are, you know, part of what we do is provide a real safe environment for young people to explore issues mm-hmm. That are important to them. It's really youth driven. This is the whole empowerment piece of youth media and why the youth media in general was sort of born out of a lot of social justice movements around the country. And so it's really a way to use real powerful medium to tell stories that young people want to tell and for young people to be able to sort of contribute to their sort of civic discourse, if you will, in their communities and have a voice. So that's at the essence, at the core of what we do. You know, that's what we do. But it's, yeah, really very youth driven, their voice, their stories. And I'm just always blown away by how amazing these stories are and where do they come up with this stuff and, you know, how it's just so creative and, yeah, really great.
So I interrupted you. I'm sorry. You were saying that you have year-long programs. So mm-hmm. one of them is the filmmaking.
So film. We also have a full music program called Musicology, and that's where students actually come together. They form a band. They write their songs. They record, produce an album, do a record release wow. party. We do a big year-end celebration called the Heatwave Festival at Red Butte Gardens, for example, with that with our audio programs in general, but Musicology, that's a year-long experience, so band experience, if you will. And we have a year-long radio show, which is on KRCL right. called Loud and Clear, and that is completely youth-produced. And then the students also, in fact, they are beginning to take over Radioactive here, and so they'll be doing some radio commentaries that will be airing. And that's also a year-long intensive, cool. you know, experience as well. And then we have a whole apprenticeship-style program where in film and audio engineering and design, game design.
And in those yeah. cases, if it's an apprenticeship, do they work with established professionals? They go and either shadow or how does that how
well,
does that work?
It's a little so they're still doing programming at Spy Hop, but mm-hmm. what the sort of it's more of our kind of vocational style program. Okay. So, for example, in the film part of that program, the students will create a short kind of a promo reel or some kind of a video for local nonprofits for free.
Okay, cool.
That kind of thing. And so it's the idea that they work with real world clients mm-hmm. And gain that kind of experience, sort of more of our kind of workforce development program, if you will. So that and then audio engineering, the students work with local bands. We have an open mic night on Friday nights and any young person can come into our studio and from 3 to 7 p.m. and record. And the engineers do all the recording for them.
Very cool.
And then the game design portion of it, the students will work with clients as well. And it could be a school and development of an educational game, mm-hmm. or, for example, we worked with the VOA last year.
The Volunteers of America.
Yep. And then the students did a game on the plight of homeless youth here in Salt Lake. And it was sort of a kind of choose your own adventure game, but that VOA would use potentially for their education and outreach.
With homeless youth.
Or going into schools or doing, you know, wherever they are. So not necessarily is it with the homeless youth themselves, but potentially the public. So.
Cool. Yeah. So what are the ages?
So 7 to 20. And then we also do a lot of programs out in the community. So we work up and down the Wasatch Front, actually even as far down as Moab. We run a summer program down there. And so we serve about 1,600 young people a year.
Wow.
So about 600 at the center and then about 1,000 out in the community. And that we do in partnership with other youth service organizations, public agencies, schools. We have a whole youth in custody program, including a radio podcast program called Sending Messages that runs out of Decker Lake and Wasatch Youth Centers.
So these are places where kids are in, I don't know.
They're in, well, lockup. End of the day, it's a secure care facility. And that's a real powerful program that we've been running for the last few years. And they produce about 45-minute episodes and do about 8 episodes a year. And those can be downloaded on iTunes. They could be subscribed to, or you can go on our website and listen to them, or you can go to sendingmessages.org and download and listen to them.
And it's
there.
The stories of these kids mm-hmm. who have, yeah. for whatever reason, have had some challenge mm-hmm. in their life.
It says poetry, letters, you know, short stories, that kind of thing. Yeah, real cathartic experience for a lot of young people to really take a step back and reflect either on the past or really thinking about the future. And it's the students also receive a school credit for it. So they either get an English credit or an art credit.
Cool. The Downtown Alliance has a great relationship with Spy Hop. We work with you guys on lots of different projects, some related to your actual programming, some related to neighborhood development and trying to change the dynamics. You guys are in a challenged part of the city, I think it's fair to say. Mm-hmm. And you've also been great supporters with Umoca and Eve, and you guys have done some very cool programming with us. You have a very cool program coming up tonight. actually, mm-hmm. a little mm-hmm. celebration. Maybe you could share with the listeners what you've got going on tonight.
Yeah, well, actually, it's our big annual benefit, our big annual event, but we're celebrating 15 years. Mm-hmm. The title of the theme of the event is Write the Future. And so the idea is we're inviting folks to come and celebrate the last 15 years, but also to help us think forward and prepare and support the next 15 years of SPIHOP. And yeah, it's tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Infinity Event Center, which is on 6th South and Main Street, so just south of the Grand America Hotel. And you can still buy tickets, and you can go online to spihop.org/benefit should get you there, or you just go to spihop.org, and of course it's all over our front page.
Right.
So
right.
And you can get tickets that way.
And you can buy tickets at the door tonight.
And you can buy tickets at the door as well tonight. And it's a really cool opportunity to hear from our students. So the musicology band that I was referencing, they're going to be playing tonight. They're called Alchemy this year, a great band. And then we'll have students talking about their work as well and sharing some work. And then we will have our students, our Pitchnik film students, actually pitching their films tonight, which is also a really fun thing. And so it allows the audience, if you will, to support those films. So you can have a rolling credit, or you can be a line producer, or an associate producer, or an executive producer on those films. And it goes to support the making of them.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break for some messages. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of SPIHOP, how it got started, what you hope to accomplish, and we'll also talk a little bit about the neighborhood that you live in and the positive impact that you are making in the Rio Grande neighborhood. So we will be back after these messages. We are back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is Cassandra Verbruggen. Cassandra is the executive director of a very cool downtown project, a downtown entity called SPIHOP that works with youth. Describe a typical SPIHOP student.
A lot of young people. So we live in a very beautiful area where there's mountains and, there's opportunity to be outside in the mountains. And a lot of young people have those opportunities, and that's kind of where they get their self-confidence and self-esteem and so forth. But there are a lot of young people that aren't outdoor kids, if you will, mm-hmm. or they're not necessarily young people that have those opportunities. And so it's hard to say. There's really no typical. We don't turn away a student.
Okay.
We do a lot of targeted outreach in schools and in parts of the community that we really feel like those young people need us most and mm-hmm. would have the greatest, sort of benefit of participating in our programs. Girls, for example, we really do work hard to outreach to young women because they're very underrepresented in the media arts in general.
Yeah.
And so right now, our typical student, 30% are girls, 70% are boys. This year it's a little bit higher because we've been doing some real targeted outreach. But we don't necessarily focus on what, some people might say at-risk youth.
Right.
We certainly do have very targeted programs that serve young people that are very high risk. But our goal is actually to provide a real safe environment for young people to come together from all walks of life to learn and engage and create with one another. And by doing that, they're learning really valuable 21st century skills. So how to communicate with somebody who's different from you,
mm-hmm.
How to understand diverse perspectives and the role that having different people, different voices, different ideas in a room can actually contribute to a more successful outcome.
What was the genesis behind SPIHOP? Because it seems so compelling and valuable, but probably there isn't a SPIHOP in a lot of other communities, or maybe there is. Maybe there's a whole network.
There is. Actually, it's interesting. There are some youth media organizations that have been around for 40 years.
Right.
Youth Radio, for example, is one of the first. But there is a network of organizations. Many of us got started around 15 to 20 years ago. So SPIHOP was one of the first to offer sort of the type of, what we do.
Yeah.
And we're actually probably one of the largest in the country, which is really interesting. A lot of other youth media organizations focus on one medium. So they may be radio, they may be film, but not necessarily the full spectrum of media arts. But yes, SPIHOP got started about 15 years ago. It was really born out of an alternative after-school tutoring program that's actually still in existence today, Higher Ground Learning.
Okay.
And Rick Ray and Eric Dodd are the co-founders of SpyHop, and Rick was running Higher Ground Learning at the time, and this was right around the turn of the century, so, you know, turn of the century, listen to me. the millennium, the turn of, what did we call it? I mean, it was the turn of the century, so 1999.
Yeah.
And Rick and Eric pulled together 12 students to do a film about, you know,
the turn of the century.
And it was a year-long program, and it was really sort of this idea of an alternative way of educating young people, sort of helping them really develop some critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills and that kind of thing, using film as the medium. And after a year, they still had all those students. They were all teenagers. And so that's, you know, that's a challenge. And so Rick and Eric really felt that they were onto something.
Yeah.
And so from there, they did another program and they kind of kept going and, you know, got their 501c3 status, and SpyHop was born. So we were born out of, you know, film and out of alternative ed, an alternative learning program, style program.
And you've continued to add programming since then, obviously.
Yeah. So, yeah, we started with a small group and, you know, of 12 students and, you know, now serving 1,600 students in multiple mediums.
Yeah. What motivates SpyHop to continue? What's your mission? And then what motivates you? Like, why? How did you get involved in this, and why are you involved with this?
Yeah. Well, I think what motivates SpyHop in general as an organization to continue what we do is that young people need a way to express themselves. They need those opportunities. They need good mentors. I mean, we are a mentor-based, project-based organization. They need those guides in their lives in order to help them, you know, on a somewhat challenging pathway, and especially today more than ever.
It's hard to be young.
Yeah, it's hard to be young. As arts have been moving out of the schools, as a lot of opportunity, you know, you have to have money in order to be able to do any extracurricular activities. You can't, you know, it's just there's not a lot of opportunities for young people in the out of school time environment that is engaging and interesting, and, you know, especially for teenagers. A lot of that stops at junior high.
Yeah.
So, and then because young people are unemployed these days as well, it's really, you know, back when you know, I was a kid, I was working after school, and, you know, yes, a lot of young people can work, but the unemployment rates for young people are really high. So, like you said earlier, you know, what are they doing?
Right.
You know?
What are they doing after
school? Yeah, yeah.
And what makes you excited about this?
Yeah, and I think learning doesn't happen at 2:30 or 3 o'clock when the school bell rings.
Right.
We learn 24/7, 365, and it can happen in really fun and engaging and exciting environments. And so what motivates me personally is this notion of education and learning and fun and doing what, you know, doing that in an environment where you're with other young people. I was an athlete growing up, and that was, I had my coaches, you know, I had those people to look up to, and, you know, that's what got me going through life. That's what sort of has helped me lead to my own personal success and self-confidence. And, you know, I'm a climber, I'm a skier, and I, you know, I do those things, and I feel like I've gained my confidence and who I am, and I really know who I am through that. This is the same exact type of programming. It's just using a different medium. And so I really feel personally that this is the kind of thing that is needed in communities where, you know, young people don't have all of those opportunities. And I mean, I see it. It's transformation that takes place when a young person comes in for the first time. They'll be with us for 4 or 5 years, and then they go on to college and they leave, and it's like, wow, what happened? You know, and it's just really great to, you know, it's so inspiring and motivating to me to see that kind of growth and development and intellectual you know, development that happens in our students. So
you guys made a decision to be located in a neighborhood that is a little bit challenged. I think that's a word that I'm pretty comfortable using. Maybe if you could explain why you chose that and sort of what your hopes are for that Rio Grande neighborhood as a long time tenant, a long time participant in that neighborhood.
Well, that neighborhood is a really great place for us to be because it's a neutral zone. And I say it's neutral in that it's not totally on the west side. It's not totally on the east side. It's in the middle, and it's right off the tracks line. It's right off the front runner. You know, it's a great facility. We moved in 6 years ago. We had it designed and built out to, you know, our specs and what, you know, and it's a really wonderful space and our students love it. And I mean, we just, it's a great place for us to be. You know, when we moved in there, we didn't, you know, the recession hadn't hit yet.
Right.
And, you know, the city didn't have as many of the challenges that they have now. 6 years later, that's all been sort of confined to that neighborhood.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, geographically, those boundaries haven't moved, but the numbers have moved, yeah, have grown. And so I would say it's way more challenging now than it was when we moved in, yeah, you know, 6 years ago.
I would agree with that, but I would also say you guys are really part of the solution, that you are making a significant difference in that neighborhood, that your pioneering spirit and the positive energy you bring to that neighborhood has been really valuable. And I hope that this year we really can turn a corner in that neighborhood and,
yeah,
start,
I mean,
to make some positive changes.
We're seeing that. I mean, I have to say that Chief Burbank and Deputy Chief Mike Brown have been real supportive and have really been trying everything possible within the constraints of their own, you know, financial resources. And they've been great. The police, yeah, the police officers are wonderful. The you know, we have bike cops there that are awesome and have come in and, you know, talked to us and so forth. But it's still, yeah, absolutely. They've the city, you know, is continuing to put a lot of time and energy and effort into that neighborhood. And we've been doing as much as we can to sort of be at the table and really have a voice and a presence that I'm hoping is contributing to some positive outcomes for the neighborhood.
I think it definitely is. Remind people one more time about your event tonight.
Yeah, so tonight we're celebrating our 15th year anniversary at our annual benefit, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Infinity Event Center. You can still go online and purchase tickets. The tickets are $50 now, $60 at the door, so we hope that everybody would go online and
great food, and great beverages,
awesome,
great,
yeah,
entertainment.
We have, it's so much fun. We have restaurants, so Tuscany will be there, Franck's will be there, the Red Iguana is going to be there, Trio, the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory does some awesome desserts for us, Red Rock Brewery, as a nonprofit, you know,
we need help.
We need help. To our community, and we've had over the years some wonderful supporters. This year, we're being the event is being presented by Bank of the West. They have been awesome. Jones Waldo Arches, Kevin and Donna Grunike. I mean, I can go on and on. So yeah, super fun night, and I hope you can join us.
Well, congratulations, yeah, on 15
so
years,
thanks.
And thanks for everything that you do for downtown. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we talk about the people, the places, and the events helping to shape Utah's urban.